I lost it one time. And I had written inside cover memorials through my relationship and experience with the Lord. And while we were living in Sunnyside, I was involved with a youth convention. And sometime after the youth convention, a day or two, I realized, where is my Bible? I searched high and low. I went back to the Yakima Convention Center. I went everywhere I could think of to look to find my Bible, and I couldn't find it. It wasn't long after that we moved to Puyallup. And I can remember the day. I have it pictured in my mind in the old building on the hill on those old concrete cold floors with that skinny carpet on it. I remember walking through there. I was by myself. There was nobody around, and I was praying. And I began to petition the Lord. You know where that Bible is. You know how important that Bible is to me. Now, I know that I could go to the Bible bookstore and buy another Bible, but it was the dates and the words that I had written in the front of that cover and transferred from one Bible to the next Bible that was protected in that nice, beautiful cover that my wife bought me. And I petitioned the Lord. It was 1 year approximately after I had lost it. And I was still asking the Lord, you know where that Bible is. You can bring it back. You can bring it back to me somehow. Well, it was about just a week or two later, I got a phone call from a friend in Yakima and said, hey, are you missing a Bible? I said, yeah. He said, well, I got a call from Denny's the other day. This Bible had been sitting at the Denny's in Union Gap, Washington for a year. And somebody at the restaurant put 2 and 2 or 4 and 4 together or something and somehow figured it maybe was connected with this friend of mine. And he called me and he said, well, I've got it. And so I am thankful to the Lord that I have this Bible today. Amen. I want to talk to you today. I want the word of the Lord to speak to us about this old book. In the book of Exodus at chapter 31, we begin reading about a relationship between God and his creation as he begins to dialogue with a man chosen of him to lead his people. And on the top of a mountain, in a 40-day meeting, the Lord spoke unto Moses. 31 and 17, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon the Mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. Shortly after the conversation ended, he said, you better go. You better get down there. They are making a mess with their lives. And before the Lord can even finish making that statement to Moses, he thought further and he said, wait a minute. Why don't I just wipe them out? Why don't I just destroy them all and we'll start this thing over? I'll raise up children unto you. Now, that would put you back on your seat in a conversation with God. And he besought the Lord for the people of Israel. And the Bible says that the Lord repented of it, changed his mind. He said, okay. And so Moses goes down the mountain. Moses turned and went down from the mount. verse 32, chapter 32, verse 15, went down from the mountain. The two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, and on one side and on the other side were they written. And the tables were the work of God. And the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the stones, or upon the tables. It came to pass, as soon as he came nigh into the camp and he saw the calf, this is Moses now down the mountain, he saw the calf and the dancing, that Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and broke them beneath the mount. Now what do we do? God, who wanted to communicate with his people, his thought, engraved it in something that would last, and put it into the hands of Moses, and Moses got upset when he saw what he did, and he threw them down, and they were broken. I want to read to you a statement. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now things were said in this season of time, and those things were then recorded or written down. And the accumulation of scrolls, we would say pages in our vernacular, but they were an accumulation of recorded words said unto the inspiration of the Holy Ghost that would then be preserved through time. In the process of time, somebody would take these words that have been preserved under the unction of the Spirit of God from the scrolls of leather or some kind of material that was lasting, and then begin to write them upon pages of paper. And thank God for a German man. I can't remember his name. One of you scholars would. He developed a press. And after years of things being transcribed, written over and written over and written over by hand, there was the printing of these words and sustained through time on words of paper into the pages of your Bible. Some of the things that transpired in that history was when the people of God came to the prophet of God and said, we think there's a better way. We don't want to be led by this prophet anymore. We want to have a king. And we've rehearsed this many times. The people had their direction, and they chose the kingdoms of men rather than the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was already in place, but they chose to be a part of the kingdom of men. God was rejected. God's words became lost. We can read through the book of Kings and in the book of Chronicles of history recorded after one king led the people, and then another king led the people. And there were successions of the rising up of a king, and then the putting down of a king, and the birthing of a king, and then the dying of a king. And from generation to generation, kings led God's people. And whatever the way the king went, so the people went. Is it any wonder why the scripture would tell us to pray for those in authority? Let's take a minute. Let's pray right now. Father, in accordance with the wisdom and the truth of your word, we pray for those who are in authority in the kingdoms of this world now today, in the places of our involvement. We pray that your hand be upon them. We pray your leading, Father. We praise the devising of direction, Father, that would come only from you to bring this to an end according to your will, according to your purpose, Lord. According to your purpose, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Israel refused to be led by the prophets and desired a king instead. God gave to them what they wanted, and many kings would come. Kings would either lead the people to God or lead them away. I want to start with just one king, a king by the name of Manasseh. In the 21st chapter of 2 Kings, we're not going to read the chapter. I'm going to read to you the things that he led the people to. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Remember when he brought Israel out of Egypt? You remember when he took them out, led them through the wilderness? Remember when he brought them across the Jordan and eventually into the promised land? And it was in the promised land where he began to drive out people. The scripture here is calling them heathen and then giving them houses they didn't build, vineyards they didn't plant. And all of these things. He's doing this for his chosen people. And so now we have a king leading the people of Israel. And the Bible is declaring that he was now more vile than the very nations that were driven out of the Lord before them. He built up the high places. He built altars unto Baal. He made a grove or a place of worship and worshiped the host of heaven. Now, this host of heaven phrase is not the angels of God. This is the stars in the sky. This is the constellations. And he began to worship. This is the zodiac that you see on the paper on the table in a Chinese restaurant. And they gave worship unto these. He made altars in the house of the Lord. He made altars of worship in the house of the Lord, but the worship wasn't unto the Lord. There were people coming into the house of the Lord and giving worship unto God. A God. A worship. A God, but it wasn't unto the Lord God. He made his sons to pass through the fire. Sacrifice, human sacrifice of his own sons to Molech. He observed enchantments. He dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He brought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. He set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house, which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. Now, this was the king, one of the kings that they had desired, the kingdoms of men, and how he led them. And specifically, it's interesting. I suspect that a lot of the activity was first done outside the temple. I expect a lot of his lifestyle was something that choices that he was making that was done outside the temple. But the eventuality was as he was bringing it into the temple because he wanted to have a spiritual connection with the people in the temple. People are led more spiritually than they are socially. And when you can get involved or infected into the spiritual side and worship of individuals. They may have been attending the local temple, but they weren't giving their homage to the Lord of the temple. But there was spiritual worship going on. There was incense being offered. There were sacrifices being given on altars that had been erected in a temple, in the house of God. The Lord spake by his servants, the prophets, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, had done these abominations and have done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. Jumping down to verse 17. This is chapter 21. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and all that he did and his sin that he sinned, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Manasseh slept with his fathers, was buried in the garden of his own house, in the garden of Uzzah, and Amon, his son, reigned in his stead. Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. Manasseh had reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His son, who's now become king, only reigns 2 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Meshulamith, the daughter of Haruz of Jotba. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. If there's ever been a serious goal that I've ever established in my own personal life, it was not to repeat the evil that my forefathers did. And I had believed and always looked to my experience in the Holy Ghost that those things could be broken in me and the following generations. The acts of Manasseh impacted the future of Amon. And Amon, through his choices, did evil in the sight of the Lord, and as his father did. He walked in all the way that his father walked in, and served the idols that his father served, and worshiped them. He forsook the Lord God of his fathers, and walked not in the way of the Lord. Now you realize in that statement, it's having to reach back several generations. Because if you read the generations preceding him, there were several and many that did not do that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but they did evil, and they did a repetition of what their fathers did. So they have to look way back and say that he has forsook the God of their fathers. And what we'll find out in reading further ahead, that he's actually reaching back to the life of David and the Lord that David served. His servants plotted and killed him in his own house. The people of the land killed the servants. And then they made Josiah, Amon's son, the next king. When I read this, I thought to myself, man, Manasseh went on for 55 years and he absolutely destroyed the place. And then we got another king going to follow him and do exactly what he did. And God said, well, I ain't got time for this. I'm fixing to do a new thing here. We need to get this out of here. If it wasn't God, it was something, somebody, somehow. We can't live with another 55 years of this. And in 2 years, he was gone. Now, 2 Kings chapter 22. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the way of... Wait a minute, I thought his father was Amon. And I thought his father was Manasseh. Well, they were. But the Lord is now, and through the scripture, jumping past those generations and reaching back. If you've ever wondered the impact of your single actions in setting destiny for the future, here it is, right here. There are those who have gone on before us, and some have lived lives of sacrifice. And some, I can call out names today in my own lineage where there were individuals that their own faithfulness and oftentimes mocked faithfulness, it set precedent for my generation and for the next generation, my children, and for the next generation, my grandchildren. And sometimes it's so easy for us to waver. Well, I don't know. Well, oh, if we could just be resolute in our steps, in our seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and forgetting about all things. Knowing, trusting, and believing by what we read of the past in the historical events of the people of God, that each step we make for the positive toward the Lord is going to have profound effect on not few, but many. David. Was David perfect? No. But the word of God holds him up as a place of faithfulness in his relationship with God. It says he didn't turn to the left or the right. Turn not aside to the right hand or to the left. Now, Josiah is the new king. He's young. I don't know what kings do with their time. I don't know who they hang with. I don't know what they do. I don't know if they're just protected inside the kingdom, inside, you know, a palace. But 18 years had transpired while he was the king. But I do know he looked at things. I know that he saw things. I know that he contemplated. And I would suspect that his position with God in pursuing the right ways of the Lord positioned him to hear, positioned him to receive direction from the Lord himself. And for whatever reason, 18 years after watching, after 18 years of leading and setting proclamations and whatever it was that kings do, he gets direction. And he begins to set this direction in play. He's got a secretary by the name of Shaphan, and he says to Shaphan, go up to the temple. Go speak to Hilkiah the high priest. Now I know for 18 years I've been watching and they receive silver from the people as they come into the temple. Now remember, description of the temple was what we saw and still is under Manasseh. There are idols in the temple. There are altars built unto false gods in the temple. There are groves planted in the temple. There is idolatry and false worship, and it's all taking place in the temple, and he's now been the king 18 years. And he says, they're receiving offerings of silver of the people that come into the temple. Go to Hilkiah the high priest. The high priest is operating in servitude. The high priest is doing what he knows to do in the caring for of this defiled temple. It's defiled. He's still acting out. He's still serving in his office. Let's not misconstrue this into the idea that Hilkiah is this great spiritual dude. Because something's been lost in the kingdoms. Something's been lost in the worship. Something's been lost in the household of every family. But there's something transpired in the life of this young man in his own personal relationship with God. And God begins to lead him. Go up to Hilkiah and tell him, distribute the silver to the keepers of the temple. Distribute the silver to them that they might repair the breaches in the temple. The things that have been neglected. The things that have been let go. Attention has been given to these other areas in relationship to worship unto idols. But there's areas in the temple that have been let go. And so Shaphan, the secretary, goes to Hilkiah. He has this little conversation and they agree, okay, let's get this money distributed out. And there's some discussion over that. And in the process, Hilkiah says, hey, Shaphan, I found a book in the temple. I found a book in the house of the Lord. You'd have thought him being the high priest, he'd have had that book on his bedside table. You'd have thought that he'd have had that book on some open display in the temple. But no, somewhere in the process and the generation of years, that old book got lost. It got misplaced. And Hilkiah says, I found a book. He hands it to Shaphan. Shaphan begins to read it. He returns and goes to see Josiah and says, Josiah, everything's been done that you asked me to do. I spoke to Hilkiah and Hilkiah distributed the money. And so those things have been set in order. They're going to start making some reparations. Is that a word? You get the idea, right? You know, as I was reading that this morning, you know what I remembered? I remembered 1 year after we came to Puyallup when we decided we were going to reconstruct the altar. It was the shape of it in the old building. And so we straightened the curves out of that thing and made a line. Remember that? And do you remember when we finished the reconstruction of that altar? I do. I was sitting in a chair along with some others on this wall. One night as we began to worship the Lord, I remember who was standing in the pulpit talking. And something passed through the wall and passed by me. And something began to stir and blow through that place. Do you remember that? And I remember us commenting one to another. It's like when we begin to reconstruct the altar. That's all we knew how to say it. Something began to move spiritually. It wasn't long after that we made the purchase of this building. And the same week that I flew out to go to a prayer and fasting meeting, there was a handful of guys in here doing what? Reconstructing the altar, taking down some walls, and reconstructing this altar. It was only a few days later that I returned home Now, can anybody witness to what we experienced that weekend and the following weeks? I'm just saying. I'm only reiterating to you the thoughts that came to my mind as I began to read these scriptures. And I'm only reading these scriptures because I felt the direction from the Lord. Oh, they're up here. Hilkiah the high priest, verse 8, chapter 22, said unto Shaphan the scribe, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king, brought the king word again, and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house, and have delivered it into the hand of them to do the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. Later, it's described that he wept. I don't know how long that went on. All I could think of was, oh, the power of this old book. As we begin to read what transpires in the life of one king, and then the actions that he begins to take and does not stop. Now listen to me, we don't live in a world of kings in this manner. But aren't you the king of your home? Aren't you the king of your house? Don't you think the book of the law could set precedent and make change to the degree? I've asked Brother Garcia to come and read. It's a lengthy reading. I don't apologize for the time. If you gotta go, I understand that. I'm asking him to read, beginning at verse 12 of chapter 22, and then on through chapter 23 to verse 32.
And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asahiah a servant of the king, saying, go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that is written concerning us. So Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, and Achbor, and Shaphan, and Asahiah went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. And they said unto them, and she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of this book, which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place, and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar, and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes, with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, and for the grove, and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem, and in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to all the host of heaven. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron and burned it at the brook Kidron and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah, and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense, from Geba to Beersheba, and brake down the high places of the gates that were in the entering in of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. And he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun at the entering in of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and burned the chariots of the sun with fire. And the altars that were on top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, did the king beat down and break them down from thence and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron. And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, the kingdom of Israel, had builded for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Zidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. And he brake in pieces the images, and cut down the groves, and filled their places with the bones of men. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel, and the high place which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both at the altar and the high place he brake down, and burned the high place, and stamped it to small powder, and burned the grove. And as Joshua turned himself, he spied sepulchres that were there in the mount, and sent, and took the bones out of the sepulchres, and burned them upon the altar, and polluted it, according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Then he said, "What title is that that I see?" And the men of the city told him, "It is the sepulcher of the man of God, which came from Judah and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel." And he said, "Let him alone. Let no man move his bones." So they let his bones alone, with the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria. And all the houses also of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger, Josiah took away. And he did to them according to the acts that he had done at Bethel. And he slew all the priests of the high places that were upon the altars, and burned men's bones upon them, and returned to Jerusalem. And the king commanded all the people, saying, "Keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of the covenant. Surely there was not holden such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor the kings of Judah, but in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein this Passover was holden to the Lord in Jerusalem. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits, and the wizards, and the images, and the idols, and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law, which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, and with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him. Notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him withal. And the Lord said, I will remove Judah also out of my sight, as I have removed Israel, and will cast off this city Jerusalem, which I have chosen, and the house which I said, my name shall be there. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah, and all that he did, are they not written in the books of the chronicles of the kings of Judah? In his days, Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, went up against the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates. And King Josiah went against him, and he slew him at Megiddo when he had seen him. And his servants carried him in a chariot, dead from Megiddo, and brought him to Jerusalem, and buried him in his own sepulcher. And then the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and anointed him and made him king in his father's stead. And Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done.
You get a picture of Jerusalem and the temple and its demise. The idolatry that was rampant. And you hear the reading of the course of time that it took as Josiah started and never stopped to begin to tear down, disarray, tear out, burn up. Areas of worship that had become accepted. Areas of worship unto gods which were false, which had become the accepted. All this transpired when? At the reading of a book. At the hearing of the words that had been preserved, had gotten lost, had gotten misplaced, was collecting dust on a shelf somewhere. But as a man began to hear the words and respond to it, it caused revelation to come that he saw things that were violating everything about the kingdom of God, that was cohabitating, trying to be the people of God, but not necessarily worshiping God. Being people of worship, just not knowing what they worship. How's this fit for us today? We are under constant ploy of the spirit of this world, desiring to bring its worship, its idolatry, into the house of God, into the house of your life. Because, see, you are now the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are the temples of the Holy Ghost. And so this whole idea of, you know, this is the newest theme. Those things don't matter anymore. We accept you as you are and all that stuff. In other words, here's what is being said. You can be as worldly as you want. You can have as much influence of the world in your life as you want. It doesn't matter. The Lord loves you that way. How do you read something like this and get that kind of a picture? Yet there are synagogues all around us who have measured their success by their size, who are propagating a message that defilement's okay. Being defiled, but you're in the kingdom. Defile yourself. It doesn't matter. Those things, this is the new way. That's old fashioned. That old book, can you believe it? Some lady told my wife one day in the hospital as a pastor, I never use this. And if I were you, I'd stop quoting those scriptures. Oh my God. How does something that started so grand in the process of time become so ugly, so defiled, that it wasn't just the temple that had become defiled, that it was the whole city that the temple was in was defiled. And all of their places of involvement. How does that happen? It happens with a small, unattended thing. Oh, yeah, that's, we understand them. They're just that, you know. Well, you just have to overlook. Overlook. Oh, we are sometimes so passive. That things begin to transpire. Slowly, slowly, one action at a time. That before you know it, what was pure and real becomes unrecognizable. Now, we're not in a kingdom per se, and we're not building kingdoms, but our home is a kingdom. Our house is a kingdom. And your temple, being the temple of the Holy Ghost, is a kingdom. Or a part of the kingdom. And if we could be honest with ourselves, we would allow ourselves to see and to hear areas in our own lives that could easily set us down a road, a path. Or maybe there's just something that's been hanging around for a long time that if you had guts, you'd deal with it. Couple more scriptures here before you. We go. 1 Corinthians 10, 11. Now all these things happen unto them for an example. And they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Those things that we just read here today, those were written for our benefit so we could look back and see. And the days that we're walking in and living in can be weary of, can be guarded against, or we can make an adjustment to. One more place, Luke chapter 24, verse 40. Maybe. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet, and while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you any meat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it, and he did eat it before them. He said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. This is one of our greatest needs today, is revelation, spiritual revelation prevailing in our lives to see clearly and not live under the blinding effects of the God of this world to deceive us into accepting and believing. Then opened he their understanding. Verse 46, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins would be preached in his name, beginning at Jerusalem. And I'm going to skip down past that to the book of Revelation, chapter 22 and 16. Why don't you stand with me? As I begin to read and study in the Word concerning this situation, my focus was the power of this book. It wasn't on bringing you instruction or some kind of cautions. But since we've led into this, I feel great cautions and areas of concern that we should protect our own lives, our spiritual health and benefit and welfare, and for those around us. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I know that many times in the last few months, I hear warning coming out of my mouth. I hear caution coming out of my mouth. I hear buy the truth and sell it not coming out of my mouth. Many deceivers in the world. Many deceivers in the world. This keeps coming back to me, and so I'm going to say it. I have an acquaintance whom I interacted with for a short time. He posted a statement on Facebook during that time. He got up one morning and he posted on Facebook, he said, I thank God for Joel Osteen. You know, the gospel of smile. you think I should be worried about saying something like that publicly? I will proclaim it from the rooftop. See, it's easy for a people to become passive and accepting and somehow validating something by the huge number. Huge, we are not. Pure in doctrine, we are. Constantly teaching the right ways of the Lord and becoming more like Him rather than more like that. That's the effort. That's the drawing of the Spirit of God. That was His whole message of come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Come out from among what? The heathen. The idolatrous worship of the world. And having a place of separation and purity in our own walk, in our own lives, in our own relationship with Him. And there is a constant push of the world and the media to shove it all together. Shove it all together. I find it interesting that when the media wants to make a reference about the church, they go to Rome. They start there. I'm thinking, wow, you guys are really late and behind the times. History has progressed. You ought to get caught up. Brother Johnstone, I want you to come. I feel myself starting down a road here. I feel protective to anybody who will listen. And that the time grows short. There was a man that had come into the shop a couple of times, situations with his phone, and he was there the other day, and I know what he said. So what'd you do before you did this? I still do. I'm a pastor. Oh. Yeah, I know some pastors, they don't, make enough. They got to work. And oh, no. I'm here by choice. Well, he said, we've been looking for a church. Man, you don't know how many times I've heard that. We've been looking for a church. So I said, from where? What's your experience that you've been looking for your church? A good church, that means you're leaving something. Tell me what's going on there. Well, I was raised Latter-day Saints, LDS, and my wife and I have been a part of that. And he said, I've been looking. So I said, where you been? Well, Mars Hill, Said something about, we don't believe in the message anymore. And he said, my wife is very tied to the LDS church, but he said, I'm looking. So we know who the king is in that house. A little more time went, and I said, what message? Well, what do you mean? I said, you referenced message. You didn't believe the message. What is the message? What's the redemptive message? Have you read the book of Acts? I love the book of Acts. Let's talk about the book of Acts. Let's talk about the redemptive message that makes you blood bought. Well, yeah, he sat down real quick. I'm sure that was more than he was ready for at the moment. But here's what's reigning in my spirit. Time is short, and we've been far too passive. Lumping everybody together and let's be pure in our doctrine.
Yes, amen.
Let's seek the Lord for who He is. There is one God.
Yes,
the mighty God in Christ reconciling the world to Himself.
Yes.
He wants to save a world, not allow Him to remain deceived.
Yes, amen.
55 years. Of idolatry in the kingdom. He finally gets him out of the way, and another one just like him comes on the scene. Nope, we ain't going 55 years this time. Something causes the servants to rise up and kill him. Something causes the servants or people to rise up and kill the servants. It gets another young man in play by the name of Josiah. You know, I did a little search, but I didn't have enough time. It was common for kings to have many wives. Common. Multiple. And each time a king came on the scene, it made a reference to who his mother was. Well, we know who daddy was. Down from Manasseh to Ammon, and they did evil, which was in the sight of the Lord. And I'm thinking to myself, where did the influence come in this young man's life? That's right. He had a mom. That I'm convinced, no matter the direction that dad took, even as king, there was communication going on with a boy at a young age. She sat at his bed reading those little books talking about the kingdom and about a God in heaven. There's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, who's above all, through all. And taught him right ways. How could he walk in the right ways of the Lord at that young age without knowing the right ways of the Lord? When everything that had lived before him as his father and grandfather was nothing but defilement. He had a mom. That's my Mother's Day message. He had a mom. Now, son, you respect your dad, but don't do that. I'm still gleaning on the message from last week. I have meat to eat that you don't know of. Pray with me. Jesus. 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 Lead us and guide us, Father. The ways of your word. Let this book not gather dust upon our shelf, Lord God. Let it teach us. Let it separate us from a defiled world. Let it separate us from a defiled world. Let it do its perfect work, its purifying work, Father, in our hearts, in our minds. I pray in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I believe I found myself reading in these particular passages because I was researching back to a root time when Jerusalem was overthrown and the Babylonians came in. And that's where we begin to read the story of a young man by the name of Daniel, his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these whom Babylon tried to reverse, refeed, reclothe, rename, and do all they can. This is still fresh and heavy on my heart for our young people. This world wants you. It wants to reclothe you. It wants to give you a vernacular or verbiage that is of the world. It wants to change the makeup of who you are. That you would represent Babylon. you read the story of Daniel and the story of Joseph, for that matter, you read of supernatural interventions of God simply for their stand. Simply for their stand. You know, they were royalty, because that's who the king wanted. Bring me the children of the royalty. Go back and read it. Well, you're kings and priests. In the kingdom of God, you are royalty. And the king of this world is pursuing you with a vengeance to offset destiny and purpose of God in your life for his kingdom. You've got fathers and mothers that made sacrifices before you and has set direction and purpose for you. And now you got a target on you. I want them. Bring them. I want them to eat my food that's been sacrificed to idols. Take away their clothes. Give them these clothes. The clothes identified them as the people of God. The people of Israel. Hebrews. You think our clothes don't mean anything? What are we going to identify ourselves with? I saw a family in Walmart the other day. I know them. And as I looked at them just briefly passing by, I thought, wow, they are so markedly different from anybody else in this store. But let me tell you what they were marked with. Beauty. There was obvious separation, but what marked them was beauty. I believe because of their choice. You'll never be happy trying to fit in both places. Accepted of both, you'll never be happy. Accepted of the masses. Let's just all work together. All that ooey gooey. Brother Johnston.
Can we pray for a moment here?
Lord, give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. Oh, Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Cast down our idols. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts.
Hallelujah.
God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob.
God,
let us be a generation that seeks
your face. Let it be a part of my daily life, Father.
Seeks your face, oh.
Father, not to pour out of my mouth. Let me meditate upon them day and night.